This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by DesignCrowd.com. DesignCrowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web designs from designers around the world. DesignCrowd has more than 500,000 designers from Sydney to San Francisco ready to help you with awesome creative ideas. So get the perfect custom design every time. Check out designcrowd.com to learn more and receive your Enterprise Radio $100 VIP offer when you start your next project.
You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, once again, we are speaking with Rachel Broncherrill, founder of Amplify Growth LLC. She's an entrepreneur, vagipreneur, and business builder. Rachel focuses on building products, services, and companies in the female health and wellness and female sexual health industries. Rachel, certainly great to have you with us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, it's a pleasure to be back. Thanks so much.
Hey, you're welcome. So tell us, why are you talking about orgasmic leadership? Touch on that for starters.
So I had the experience about 8 years ago. I raised a lot of venture capital and ran a female sexual health business, a product company that had a product that improved arousal, desire, and satisfaction for women. And great business, huge market. But what became very clear was how there are essentially a different set of standards or different systemic comfort level with talking about products for female health. While people seem to be comfortable talking about diseases, the idea that you could be working on something that could enhance someone's experience, especially a woman's experience, was a little bit uncomfortable. So when I saw some of the challenges that we face, and since we sold that business in 2013, I've worked with a number of other companies in the space, it's become clear to me that the people who run businesses in this space, primarily female sexual health, require a fortitude, a drive, a perseverance, and really a set of leadership skills that are spectacular, because not only are you fighting the regular challenges of building a business, be it funding or manufacturing or identifying your customer base, but you're doing it in an environment where people are genuine, the society, if you will, is genuinely uncomfortable with what it is you're selling. So I started a project called Orgasmic Leadership, kick-ass people who are creating positive change in female sexual health, women's health, and wellness against all odds. And I've been interviewing people that I've met over the course of my career as a vagipreneur who are doing amazing things and knocking down barriers and making things happen in spite of this significant and additional layer of pushback these types of businesses get.
Certainly makes a lot of sense why you are doing what you're doing. Now, what is orgasmic leadership?
I refer to that. I mean, I think it's memorable, but it's the set of qualities and characteristics that characterize the kinds of people building these businesses. And I'm noticing as I've been deep into this interview process that there are a couple of things that really distinguish this group from other groups of leaders and managers that I've seen in over, 25 years of helping people build businesses in lots of different spaces, not only female sexual health.
And you mentioned earlier you were interviewing successful people in the industry. Who are you interviewing?
I'm interviewing a range of people. I have to say, when I launched this project not too long ago, this is in addition to the consulting and the speaking work that I do, I sent out an email to the people that I knew and I was interested in or who I'd read about, and I've gotten a 90% response in terms of their interest in wanting to participate. So I have someone who's teaching obstetricians and gynecologists, I'm interviewing someone who's teaching obstetricians and gynecologists in developing countries the skills they need to take care of their patient population. I'm interviewing people who have device companies that help with incontinence or help in improve sexual arousal and satisfaction. I'm speaking with women, it happens to be women so far, who are creating intimate apparel, new models for that are focused on helping women not just get the products they need, but around building self-esteem. And what becomes very clear is the people who are doing this, for the most part, go into it because it's a huge business opportunity. We're 50% of the population. When you look at the incidence of a lot of the conditions and concerns that the female population is facing, it's a large market with disposable income. What becomes interesting is it moves from a business to a passion. And what I mean by that is they don't become any less concerned about making something an ongoing business or a viable concern. But when faced with all the hurdles, you need to make it something even more important than a business objective to sort of push through. So just to give a personal example, for instance, when we developed advertising for one of the companies that I was involved in, 95% of the advertising vehicles, TV, cable, network, website, radio, you name it, said, no, we're not going to take your money so that you can communicate your message, which is a positive message about female satisfaction. And this is in a world where, as you know, the erectile dysfunction drugs are advertised day and night without really necessarily what seems like huge regard for the audiences. I was having trouble getting stations focused on middle-aged women, you know, at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night to take my money to display my ads. So you become, without necessarily even starting out that way, almost a missionary, someone who's so passionate to get this done because you have to have that passion to push through barriers that you haven't seen in any other business you've ever been in. And that's another characteristic that I see with the orgasmic leaders that I'm interviewing. They've all been successful doing something else that is often totally unrelated. So they might have come from the device world, but they were doing devices for a particular disease state. Now they're doing devices for female satisfaction. They might have been practicing medicine and having a clinical practice, but they never before had run a nonprofit organization where they were training doctors around the world. They might now be working on a device for incontinence. Before that, they were building loyalty programs for huge companies that you would have heard of. So these folks have a dedication and a commitment and a skill set that, while maybe not totally and completely unique, is quite outstanding when you look at these folks as a population.
Today we're joined by Rachel Braun Sherrill, founder of Amplify Growth LLC. She's an entrepreneur, vagepreneur, and business builder here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Have you ever considered starting your own business? If the answer is yes, then you're going to need a killer logo, business card, and web design. This is where designcrowd.com can help. Here's how it works. Visit designcrowd.com and post a request describing the design you need, for example, a logo design. Designcrowd will then invite its 500,000 designers to respond. Within hours, you'll receive your first design, and over the course of 3 to 10 days, a typical project will receive 60 to 100 plus different designs from designers around the world. You then get to pick the best design and approve payment to the designer. If you do post a project but don't find a design that you like, no worries, DesignCrowd has a money-back guarantee. In summary, crowdsourcing design on DesignCrowd will save you money, time, and help you find the best design possible for your budget. Check out designcrowd.com/epodcast for a special VIP offer for Enterprise Radio listeners, or simply enter the discount code EPN when you're posting a project on DesignCrowd. Now, Rachel, how would you say that what you're doing is different in the marketplace?
There are lots of people talking about leadership and entrepreneurship, you know, so much so that oftentimes folks' eyes glaze over, they get another email, they get another newsletter, they get invited to another conference. What is different about this is I'm really focusing on a particular industry that is appears to be different than any other industry. Fundraisers respond differently. Advertising vehicles respond differently. Customers respond differently. People you're engaged with socially respond differently. And I thought there was an opportunity to say, rather than this is a hurdle, let's face these things head on, understand the nuances for anyone who's going into this industry, shine a light on all the people who are really working their tails off and coming up with great solutions, and help people learn from, you know, certainly the mistakes I made, the mistakes other people are making, in an attempt to accelerate their own learning curve. I feel like if you go into this space and you're prepared and you know the particular challenges of this industry, it will enable you probably to overcome these hurdles more quickly. So the real objective is for all the people doing amazing work in this space, and that's not to say people aren't doing amazing work in a number of different areas, but helping people who are focused on finding products and solutions for female health, specifically female sexual health, preparing them with some of the tools and watchouts they need to know, connecting them to the people that might be able to help them, and helping to facilitate and amplify these important conversations about solutions for female sexual health, which are critical, important, and not that plentiful when you look at the rest of the population.
Certainly is very creative on your part. Congratulations. Now, what broad lessons about leadership are applicable here?
When you're running a business, at least the businesses that I've seen, ultimately, your objective is to be building an ongoing concern for any number of reasons, to return money to your investors, to be profitable, to invest back in the community, whatever the case is. But what's important to realize is depending on the space you go in, and I obviously am focusing on vagipreneurship, you need to be prepared that nothing goes exactly the way it seems. If you speak to any entrepreneur, everyone can tell you about a hurdle they faced and surprises that they weren't expecting. The lesson here is be prepared for the unexpected and understand what form it might come in. And I emphasize in these conversations that one of the biggest hurdles comes in the form of fundraising. Going into often male-dominated venture capital environments, talking about a problem that they either don't know their spouse or the women in their life have, and which one in which they certainly can't relate, but that represent huge opportunities. So figure out how to communicate your message to people who might not be buyers if they have trouble understanding how this could apply. And this is written about a lot. A lot of the businesses developed by women that have solutions for women are because they're experiencing those problems. I've heard many people tell me, or I've been in these pitch meetings where they go in and say, you know, 43% of women have sexual concern and difficulties, and here's a solution to affect that. And a bunch of folks in the room say, well, you know, I don't believe it's 43%. I don't know anybody who has that. And really the issue is they might not know anyone who has that because they haven't asked the question, because it's not a terribly comfortable conversation to have. It's not terribly comfortable to have with your at-home partner, whoever that might be. It's not necessarily comfortable to have it with your business partner, and it might not even be comfortable to have with your doctor. So the broad lesson is figure out how to get your message across, even when it's difficult for people to hear. One of the things that I used fairly effectively is I would use humor so it takes out the embarrassment factor when you're going into a meeting talking about female body parts, because that's not a terribly typical meeting for most people to be in. But if I could communicate that I was totally comfortable, that this was a business, that I wasn't talking about it to be titillating or to make a point, but that I was really focused on growing a business, I found that humor enabled some of that discomfort to dissipate and really focus on the fundamentals of growing a business in this space.
In conclusion, Rachel, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip? You shared a lot of enlightening things here so far already.
Never give up. If you're trying to achieve something in your personal life or in business, never give up. And if you see a hurdle, figure out a way to go through it or around it, because if you really want to get something done, most things take more money and more time than you anticipate. And if you don't have the passion to see it through, you're going to be stopped in your tracks.
Well, well said there, Rachel. Thanks so much. Where can listeners get more information about Amplify Growth, and how could they be in touch?
My website is amplifygrowthllc.com. All of my Twitter and Facebook contacts are RB Sherrill or Rachel Braun Sherrill. You can Google Vagipreneur. I should be the only one who comes up, as I've trademarked that. And I write a lot about this topic, so I'd be delighted if anybody who's listening and is interested or even knows people in this space building businesses that might be great candidates for me to include in this series, I'd love to hear from them.
Well, Rachel, it has been our pleasure to have had you, and certainly look forward to having you back right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too, Eric. Have a great day.
We've been speaking with Rachel Braun Sherrill, founder of Amplify Growth LLC. She's an entrepreneur, vagipreneur, and business builder. And for more information, visit AmplifyGrowthLLC.com. And this is Eric Dyde. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
We'd like to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd.com. Whether you're a startup or an accountant, a blogger, or a photographer, DesignCrowd.com, with over 500,000 designers from around the world and money-back guarantee, is the best way to outsource or crowdsource design. If you're thinking about starting a business, a website, or an app, start today and take the first step by crowdsourcing your logo design, business card design, or website design from Design Crowd. Visit designcrowd.com/epodcast and get a special VIP custom design offer.
This is Mitch Joel, president of Twist Image and author of Six Pixels of Separation, and you are listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast Network.